You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, welcome to the Daily Nationalist. I am Matthew Raphael Johnson, and this will be going out on June 6, 2024. And I want to talk about something I've never dealt with before on any shows that I've done, but something I think it's about time that I did, and that is something on the reliability of the Wikipedia empire. And the reason I'm doing this is I just came across, apparently this is back in the news, an article on the subject. There have been so many over the years on globalresearch.ca, which is strange. It's one of these top, there's only a handful of articles in the tens of thousands on that site dealing with this. And I just have a very vague recollection of where it came from. I remember one day it was just kind of there. Like so many things online, it happened gradually. And now I believe it's the largest website in the world. But you probably don't need me to tell you that it's a propaganda tool of the regime. I have to admit, I've used it before. But the only reason I've ever used it is to find sources for something that I'm researching. Of course, it's always going to be mainstream sources. But that's the only reason I've ever found it helpful. Of course, as a professor, all my classes ban the use of Wikipedia as a source, although using some of the actual sources of the article were permitted. And it's my contention, I think probably yours too, that the fact-check empire that came into existence solely and, you know, sharply in 2016 to challenge the Trump candidacy pretty much just uses Wikipedia and then claiming to have some sort of expertise on whatever it is that they're talking about. The other reason I'm interested in this is because my scholarly spark came from the World Book Encyclopedias, which my parents bought for my sister when I was just a little kid, but they were kept in my room, and I read them anywhere from, let's say, 8 to 15 years old on a daily basis. I just grabbed the letter and started reading. And back then, of course, this would have been the edition coming out in the very late 70s, if not a few years earlier, mid to late 70s. Of course, the encyclopedia then was very different from the encyclopedia today. The point of an encyclopedia, it's a very ancient concept. It got a boost during the French Enlightenment. It's to categorize everything that humanity has come to know, and in a format that's easy to reference, or at the very least to categorize, conceptualize, by letter or by whatever the method, everything that a society deems useful to know and to understand. That is not the case today. Today, the sole, encyclopedia that everybody knows, Wikipedia, is designed to tell people what the socially acceptable truths of any particular topic are. And to deviate from it is to become socially unacceptable. Again, you don't need me to tell you that the regime has taken it and used it, not just Wikipedia, but the concept of an encyclopedia, to centralize all the knowledge that they find useful. Now, one of the co-founders of Wikipedia, Larry Sanger, made it very clear that, among other forces, American intelligence has been manipulating Wikipedia since roughly 2008, if not longer than that. He said he noticed a bias coming from that source around 2006, and specifically he found it in the areas of science and medicine. Now, what I've come across, and there are serious critiques of Wikipedia, which you need to use another, you can't use Google, because they're connected. You have to use another search engine to come across this stuff. Many people who have gone after Wikipedia are those who have been victimized by it. And in a little while, we'll get to the methods by which, or at least the list of what Wikipedia believes to be good sources versus bad sources. But Sanger noticed that it was in Eastern medicine, whatever that might mean, is the place where certain very powerful forces were attempting to bias the reader, using what he called dismissive epithets to paint it as quackery. For example, and this is not a medical issue, but one of the things that annoyed me beyond my capacity was Wikipedia's claim that the Ukraine-Biden scandal isn't real. They call it a conspiracy theory, as if that in and of itself makes it false. That's designed to undermine the ever-popular Joe Biden, despite the fact that this is public information. Of course, it's a propaganda tool. It is so huge and is used to mold minds. There is no way on this planet that the regime is not going to take it over and use it for its own purposes. Information, or I should say propaganda, is essentially the weaponization of information. When the web first came out, as many of you know, it was a fairly decentralized thing. But all of us knew, in the mid to late 90s, that it was just a matter of time before it would then be centralized and used as a weapon. The internet made information warfare, psychological warfare, easier and more direct. The older, the row of books that I remember as a kid, and many of you might too, while they had their own biases, they were not, and could not be considered tools of propaganda. In 2012, the concept of the Wikipedian in residence, again, I'm still talking about the co-founder here, Sanger, were being paid to edit pages on behalf of whoever the client might be. The Did You Know section, which publicizes and puts out the new or at least expanded articles. And he came up with this notion, the Wikipedian in residence, that existed for the sake of political pressure to be brought to bear on key articles. Now, what Sanger said, remember, he's a co-founder of this here, says it really got over the top. He said between 2013, 2018, and by the time Trump became president, it was almost as bad as it is now. It's amazing. No encyclopedia, to my knowledge, has ever been as base as Wikipedia has been. As Wikipedia has been. I remember being angry about the Encyclopedia Britannica and the World Book not mentioning my favorite topics and presenting only certain points of view in a way that establishment sources generally do, but this is something else. This is something different. It's entirely over the top. And there's plenty of examples here. The Biden one is just, the most irritating. Let me go back to the Biden-Ukraine scandal. The very first sentence reads, "The Biden-Ukraine conspiracy theory is a series of false allegations that Joe Biden, while he was vice president of the United States, engaged in corrupt activities relating to his son Hunter Biden, who is on the board of the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. As part of efforts by Donald Trump and his campaign and the Trump-Ukraine scandal, which led to Trump's first impeachment, these falsehoods were spread in an attempt to damage Joe Biden's reputation and chances during the 2020 presidential campaign." And the last time I checked, it still says that very same thing. So the Trump controversy is called the Trump-Ukraine scandal, and it refers to Biden and is termed the Biden-Ukraine conspiracy theory. This shouldn't surprise you, but why it has to be dealt with at some level or another is that it is the world's most read website, or I should say the English-speaking world's most read website. And the founders of it make it very clear, at least, you know, the one says it's gone completely off course. And the statement that it's making, and Sanger is very clear on this, Greenwald, all these people, that when you have an encyclopedia or the encyclopedia functioning like this, the statement is that there is no truth that is independent of an ideological outlook. That truth is ideological by definition. Sanger says that the official policy, Wikipedia, says that roughly 80% of any right-wing media is inherently unreliable, and that's a rule that's imposed. Now, of course, it's being used as a tool by intelligence agencies. It's a way to figuratively brainwash people, but it is to lay out truths that aren't necessarily literally truth, but truth that you have to accept in order to function in society. Here's what Sanger has to say about it. I think that the left very, very deliberately seeks to take control. Except it isn't just the left. We're learning that now. No, it's the establishment. They have their own agenda. I'm not going to try to offer opinions. It's not something I study as to how they bring that about, but it's clear that between 2005 and 2015, Wikipedia moved onto the establishment's radar. We have evidence that it's as early as 2008, CIA and FBI computers were used to edit Wikipedia. I don't think they've stopped doing that. And it's not just them. We know that a great part of intelligence and information warfare is conducted online, and where, if not, on websites like Wikipedia. They pay off the most influential people to push their agendas, which they're already mostly in line with anyway, or they just develop their own talent within the intelligence community. They learn the Wikipedia game and then push what they want to say their own people. And that's my take on that. Now, I mentioned Google already, and it's true that they played a huge role in the growth of Wikipedia. Wikipedia usually comes out number one on most searches. And Google, we don't, you know, you probably all know, has deep ties to the military and intelligence industrial complex, the regime, in other words. And the same can be said for Twitter and Facebook. Last year, I think it was early 2023, Elon Musk released documents showing that Twitter's former executives censored content at the request of the now completely politicized FBI and assisted the military's online propaganda campaigns. And don't forget the Pentagon, high-ranking military men, these are also on the left of the political spectrum. The left and the regime, as far as I'm concerned, are one and the same thing. That's what unifies, and using the left in a very broad sense, unifies the upper reaches of the ruling class. Twitter, as Musk also discovered, censored any anti-Ukraine narratives on behalf of American intelligence. The FBI had removed any information that was damaging to Joe Biden's presidential campaign. So no one who knows anything can deny that intelligence agencies are involved. I mean, A, are highly politicized, and B, are involved in directing public information, using Wikipedia as a very important source of this. To them, they're invaluable. Now, one of the biggest problems is that the editors and the contributing authors are entirely anonymous, which makes it worse than it would normally be. You can't uncover agendas. You can't uncover reputations if no one uses their actual name. And it's something that it's not a matter of information. The bias is a matter of the interpretation of information. But that's the position that Wikipedia has created for itself. It's not truth. It's the truth that you need to function. Censorship has been normalized in a way that wouldn't have been 40 years ago, although it had been normalized, say, in World War I and World War II. But being anonymous means that things like credentials and bias and personal history can't be understood. The fact that Google puts Wikipedia at the very top of their search results almost all the time is also a key part in this. And it gives almost a subconscious impression that they're somehow more credible because they come up so early in a search, always on page one. One of the co-founders of it said in as early as 2011, Wikipedia editors were being paid by certain corporations to remove unwanted information. And in fact, that was well known in the corporation. There's a paper published in 2014 called Do Experts or Collective Intelligence Write with More Bias? Evidence from Encyclopedia Britannica and Wikipedia. And that was written by Shane Greenstein and Feg Zhu. And they compared 4,000 articles that appear in both. And they found that 73% of Wikipedia's articles contained what you can call political buzzwords, code words, compared to only 34% in Britannica. And of course, what we already knew, that Wikipedia is a leftist front. It's in their words, more left-leaning than Britannica is. Meaning that, of course, it's not a reliable source. It's a tool of regime propaganda. And whatever your specialty is, it's very difficult for a specialist in some area to read what are obviously non-specialists writing a detailed article about it. Now, the person I'm quoting here is a doctor and talking about various forms of medicine and the nature of the AMA, among many other things, are one of the biggest problems here because it is a specialized area. That was a 2014 study talking about the veracity of medical claims made on Wikipedia, the method being that they were going to be cross-checked with the most recent research published in the major medical journals, peer-reviewed. And the errors that they found were extraordinary, especially when they studied the 10 costliest, most costly medical conditions. 9 out of 10 factual errors, or actually, 9 out of 10, the entries, the articles as such, contained assertions that were contradicted by the most recent research. Healthcare professionals, trainees, patients, they're actually still using Wikipedia to answer questions regarding patient care, and it's something that the authors brought up. But geopolitics, international relations, is just as specialized as anything else. The fact that it's been reduced to I could say this about, you know, science and medicine too. It has been reduced to mass society slogans that are easy to understand. For example, we know so many of the formerly highly regarded scientists and doctors who veered from the COVID narrative have been defamed by Wikipedia. And anyone trying to clear that up is simply blocked. Cheryl Atkinson is one, and it was very easy. The editors were told that she is not a reliable source, so even her attempt to fix it, her page was just overridden by the anonymous editors there. There's another book written by Andrew Lee. That's L-I-H. It's a Norwegian name. And it's called The Wikipedia Revolution, How a Bunch of Nobodies Created the World's Greatest Encyclopedia. Now, I said this, the word nobodies. When the fact-checking organizations, which are just the media itself, you know, they're the ones who created it, when they talk about fact-checking, well, who's doing this? It's some kid with a laptop, usually using Wikipedia. Another one, it's actually a blog post from 2005, what the internet is doing to our brains. Nicholas Carr wrote, an encyclopedia can't just have a small percentage of good entries and consider it a success. I would argue, in fact, that the overall quality of an encyclopedia is best judged by its weakest entries rather than its best. What's the worth of an unreliable reference work? Now, the lead book, The Wikipedia Revolution, made the same claim that I made back when the fact checkers first came out, using, you know, Wikipedia anyway, that we don't know who they are. They're not hiring specialized scholars. No one called me to deal with the Russia stuff or any of that. These are just kids who go to the encyclopedias and use that. So it's a self-replicating cycle. Now, of course, there's some more specialized encyclopedias. And one of the authors I've dealt with here has something called encyclosearch.org and encycloreader.org. And there you can get questions answered using dozens of encyclopedias, including Wikipedia. And if you use those, you'll notice that the sources are have wildly varying answers depending on the issue. It was back in 2019, and I had forgotten about this entirely, that Paul Craig Roberts, one of my favorite writers, dealt with the issue of Wikipedia. And he says, you know, the Wikipedia phenomenon is about not just repressing information, but it's one of the mechanisms by which an idea, however true it might be, is dropped from social acceptability, and therefore is not considered a fact that anyone can rely on, or even a fact at all. The last years of the Clinton government, where the final pieces were put on the consolidation of the media in Jewish hands. Ultimately, it was six overwhelmingly Jewish mega corporations that had 90% of the media into its hands. Since these are private corporations, constitutional guarantees don't matter. Now, of course, that's not true, but the way the public understands it, it is. Of course, the Constitution mostly deals with the state, but the founders of the American government didn't really have the concept yet that corporations will be more powerful than the state and, in fact, rule it directly. Therefore, talking about the state, especially given the information revolution that they didn't have any conception of, protecting people against the state has nothing to do with the tight control of information or even what the definition of truth is. The left has now decided, using the law, using the courts, academia, private, public, whatever, what truth is and even what freedom of speech is. Obviously, false statements can be declared as true. So, for example, a biological male can claim that he's female and compete in female sports. And a name can be, you know, a transphobic, whatever it is, attached to him, which changes how he's perceived. Actual manifestations of press freedom, Julian Assange, are treated very differently. He was the precise sort of person that the Constitution was written to protect, and is the last person that the present understanding of that document will protect. The media, which is a Jewish phenomenon, speak with one voice, usually using the same turns of phrase. Truth is not relevant. The only purpose of major media today is to control and consolidate the regime's explanations for things. Once the narrative is decided upon, it's then filtered through the media and is disseminated to the public. So, for example, no one, you know, the average normie doesn't get his scientific understanding from scientists. He gets it from journalists who claim to be able to tell him what science, quote unquote, happens to say today or tomorrow. That's the point. It's just a ministry. That's what propaganda is meant to be. So people younger than us, and people who are just coming of age now, have no idea what a free press is or what its purpose is. You know, would your grandparents have any conception? Would they recognize America if they came back today? The shock would be no different than the, you know, oversighted 1984. Paul Craig Roberts, of course, in the Wikipedia article, which I this is from 2019. And they have to cover him because he was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Reagan. So they can't just ignore him, although they do that quite often. In his Wikipedia article, they call him a conspiracy theorist, an anti-Semite, and a Holocaust denier. Now, since the term conspiracy theorist has never been defined, none of these have actually been defined at all, which is part of their power, none of these are explained in any depth. It's simply, and that's the opposite of what an encyclopedia is supposed to do. Wikipedia is part of the mechanism for discrediting those who challenge official explanations, which is not what an encyclopedia is, but nothing is what it's supposed to be. Everything is inversion, one of the main satanic ontological functions. Of course, Zionists don't like them. Zionists don't like me either. As far as I know, I'm not on Wikipedia, and I hope that doesn't change anytime soon. Now, Paul Craig Roberts goes on to talk about the Jews that he has, that have supported him, and that he has supported, and that he has plenty of Jewish support, although this is not a personal matter. It's a matter of collective power. Milton Friedman was a supporter of Paul Craig Roberts' academic career. Ron Unz. You know, there are these Jews outside of the mainstream who do respect the truth, although we also know that they could plug into their matrix anytime they wanted to. Now, the evidence that he was a quote-unquote Holocaust denier, first, the problem there is that matters. It's being used as a weapon. But whether you deny something or accept something has nothing to do with who you are, but that's not the point here. Paul Craig Roberts wrote two reviews of David Irving's books, neither one having to do with the Holocaust. In fact, quite the contrary. Irving said that there was some sort of a, you know, mass murder was a normal part of life back then. But there wasn't any evidence that there was any kind of organized extermination that's portrayed in the official Holocaust story. Paul Craig Roberts quoted a few of his conclusions, and Wikipedia just assumed, and again, these are kids with a laptop, claimed that that meant that those views were identical. So here's what they said, and it's just an example of how they function. In 2019, Roberts wrote in review of David Irving's books, Hitler's War and Churchill's War, that, quote, Irving, without any doubt the best historian of European part of World War II, learned at his great expense that challenging myths does not go unpunished. I will avoid the story of how this came to be, but yes, you guessed it was the Zionists, end quote. Roberts reported without endorsement Irving's conclusion that no German plans or orders from Hitler or from Himmler or anyone else that's ever been found for organized Holocaust by gas and cremation, the so-called death camps, were in fact work camps. Auschwitz, for example, today a Holocaust museum, was the site of Germany's essential artificial rubber factory. Germany was desperate for a workforce. Now, Roberts has written many book reviews. That somehow a few lines here is included in his biography. And he wonders what the purpose is. Was the purpose to have a cover for misrepresenting the views of a historian who spent 40 years studying the subject, as my views, a person who has not spent 5 minutes studying the subject of the Holocaust? Attorneys thought that he had a libel case, but Roberts was far more interested in the invasion of privacy. He hadn't given permission to be included in a corpus of work that somehow they must market. But the fact that it was a libel case, it implied his consent to the idea that challenging some aspect of World War II was inherently disreputable and a reflection on a person's character. Wikipedia says that he opposed gender integration aboard U.S. Navy vessels. The man's an economist. Another guy named Ben Norton has gone after Wikipedia substantially. Now, he, I think, has some association with the Gray Zone, which I think I've cited a few times before. And he goes on to explain in some depth how their ranking of what's considered a reliable versus an unreliable source. The gray zone has been completely dropped by them. You may not cite the gray zone in any article. And he comes out and says, you know, it is a leftist platform dominated by state-backed actors and corporate public relations hacks, very easily manipulated by powerful forces. And he reports what the other book I mentioned cites, that about 3,000 editors are the dominant active actors on the English language Wikipedia. And this is where I actually got the claim that Wikipedia has more traffic than Amazon. And it is far and away the top source of information for everyone, especially in the English-speaking world. The open source claim is false. There's a handful of people, I mean, relative to the number of topics and readers, who control the administrators and editors. And that small group of people are the ones who are dominated by private sector resources. This is why they don't have ads. He cites a study that from 2001 to 2010, 80% of edits on Wikipedia were made by just 1% of users. And that 3,000 number is actually given by Wikipedia itself. Israeli politician, he uses an example, Naftali Bennett, organized training sessions to help new Wikipedia editors spread Hasbara propaganda on Wikipedia. In fact, the Guardian newspaper in Britain noted that that Israeli groups in Europe planned a competition to find the best Zionist editor, and the prize was a hot air balloon trip over Israel. Wikipedia is an image crafting source. Now, the New York Times, without understanding how bizarre the claim was, did publish an article on the, quote, corporate editing of Wikipedia back in 2007, apparently not being able to see themselves in this same light. But Norton says that Wikipedia, and this is correct, is a bulletin board for powerful interests. And the Wikimedia Foundation is right at the center of it. In that New York Times article, which made me smile, one of the founders, Jimmy Wales, said that while they discouraged conflicts of interest, and this is a quote, "We don't make it an absolute rule. It's just a guideline." Now, technically, they have guidelines that forbid conflict of interest editing, but there's nothing done to ever stop it, and there's no mechanism to root it out. He even comes out and says that editors can ignore the rules that are laid upon them, which means that there's none at all. They could claim to be decentralized, opposed to any kind of bias, but actually be completely dominated by it. Yes, it does have one of the highest search engine presences on the entire web. So whatever happens there is impossible to hide. It's usually the top result for a topic. Now, the claim is that it has to be written from a neutral point of view, but the definition of neutral is not laid out. Terms like editorial bias are not explained in any depth. The quote here comes straight from them. The use of Wikipedia to promote personal beliefs or agendas at the expense of Wikipedia's goals in core content policies, including verifiability in a neutral point of view. And that's forbidden, of course. They claim to take issue with single-purpose accounts, users who are interested in just one thing for some nefarious purpose. But, of course, that has nothing to do with anything. There's no mechanism to hold anyone accountable here. Now, the worst part is their list of reliable sources. And reliable sources, this is one thing they do enforce, the news outlets that editors are allowed to cite in an article. And, of course, it's what you might expect. There's no independent oversight of any of this. This is monopolized by the same tiny group, and it's a clear, highly politicized process. And you can actually go and see this, you know, the various outlets have a color and a name that they assign to it. And it's simply who is the most powerful. So mainstream corporate media outlets are deemed, quote, generally reliable. Reuters, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street, Fox News, CNN, The Guardian, Bloomberg, The Atlantic, The Daily Beast, whatever. they all have the green light. The color green is used for them. And then there's a yellow category. And you have there, you have Vice, Cosmopolitan, the Daily Mirror, and places like Democracy Now! And Counterpunch, which are less, you know, they don't claim to be neutral. They do claim to be objective, though. And the generally unreliable category, the red category, and there you have Electronic Intifada, Alternet, the Canary, whatever. But you do have the Daily Wire, the Blaze, you know, and the Gray Zone is one of them, as is Zero Hedge. Gray Zone, however, has been totally blacklisted. So there's no chance in ever using them. But there's no issue. I mean, you know, there's no objective way to discern who is reliable, who isn't, except the ideology. Who has power in a society, who has the power to make people think that what they put out is reliable. So the Weekly Standard, when it existed, is considered generally reliable, despite the fact that they printed demonstrably false stories, both in the early 90s and the later 2003 invasion of Iraq, the lies about WMDs and everything else. That's generally a reliable source to them. Even state-backed media networks, they claim that Al Jazeera get the stamp of approval, but others, like Hispan TV or Press TV, are considered unusable. Because again, they are from a completely different place. RT is considered unreliable and unusable, but state media from Ukraine, for example, very biased, are considered reliable. And one of the worst, I think many of you have come across this, is that WikiLeaks has been condemned entirely as, quote, generally unreliable. You can't use it as a source for articles there. And Wikipedia says there are concerns regarding whether the documents are genuine or tampered with. And yet, they have a 100% track record for publishing accurate documents, and no one really claims otherwise. And that's what we deal with Wikipedia and what they consider reliable and unreliable. It's just a self-replicating cycle, power, and whether you're connected with the regime, leftist agenda or not, is the only thing that makes you reliable. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.